I welcome you to another episode of Rested Life Podcast with Stanley. Here we'll learn how to grow our knowledge of God's Word and to rest in His goodness. On this platform, we'll share how you can act on the Word of God you hear, walk in your inheritance, and enjoy all God has made available to you in Christ Jesus. As I mentioned in the last episode, I'm starting another series. And I'll be answering the question, what do you do when what you've heard from the Lord or read from His Word does not match your current physical experience? You know, our faith journey comes with diverse experiences and many questions. And one such experience that is common to most people is the experience of having to wait for the fulfillment of God's promises. And you know, no one is immune to this. Because the waiting experience, may vary in length of time from person to person. But everyone, in one area or the other, may have to wait. And many believers have grown weary or given up hope while waiting on God. People have a lot of whys in their lives. Why, you know, are God's promises delaying to materialize in my life? Why am I going through this? What is this? Why is this excruciating experience not abating? And there are many other whys that people ask today. But you know what, friends? The Bible contains about 6,000 promises which are for our benefits today. But none of these promises say that we will have an explanation to all the whys in life. However, there is comfort in knowing that the Bible has answers to all life's experiences. And whatever your experience may be today, you are not alone. God told Elijah that he was not alone. He's saying the same thing to you today. You are not alone in your experience. And so I'd like to invite you to join me as we explore God's allegorical waiting room. There you will meet different categories of people who are waiting on God as you are. Their individual experiences would certainly guide you to an answer to your unanswered questions. Now, here in God's waiting room, we meet the following people, the people that I call the Abrahams. You know, you may have met the Abrahams in your life's journey. And you know, the Abrahams are those people who have heard directly from the Lord in revelation or in vision regarding their life's purpose, regarding a specific assignment or specific instruction or promise. You can call this group of persons Abrahams, because you know, Abraham was was first introduced to us as Abram. He was the husband of Sarai, who was barren for years. In Genesis chapter 11, you could read from 29 to 30. And by Genesis chapter 12 verse 1, Abraham caught a vision. God specifically instructed Abraham on a fresh start and gave him the hope of fathering a great nation and that he would be the father of many nations. So what did Abraham do? He felt compelled, like many of us are, to follow this great vision as a guide for his life. And from then on, a faith journey begins with what seemed like a roller coaster experience. Abraham waited for many years after he heard from the Lord before he could have his own children. And naturally, he may have wondered if he waited these many years to have two sons, how long would he have to wait to father a nation and then be the father of many nations as God had promised him? And you know what, friends? God's ways are higher than man's. He doesn't think the way men think. The way men walk isn't the way God works. So when you visit God's waiting room and see the Abrahams there, you realize that hearing from God does not in any way preclude you from waiting. The season of fulfillment is certain, but waiting is necessary. And you know, apart from the Abrahams, you will meet another group of persons there called the Davids. You know, in God's waiting room, Davids are there. And who are Davids? Davids are those guys who, under unusual circumstance, they are anointed, appointed, nominated, or ordained into offices or positions they never aspired to. For some of them, They only asked for one responsibility, and five in one responsibility was given to them. They know by all indication that it was essentially an act of God. You remember, Israel asks God for a king. God gives them Saul. Somehow Saul begins to misbehave, and the Lord was determined to raise another king in his place. And if you take a peep into Jehovah's master plan, you will see that the Messiah will come from the biological lineage of David. And he had to be king in order to notice Bathsheba. And through Bathsheba, he had Solomon. And the list goes on and on till the birth of Jesus the Christ. David didn't choose to be a king. Someday, we remember, a renowned prophet visits his home and anoints him, but didn't tell him why he was being anointed. Noticeably, after that encounter, several opportunities to solve problems showed up. Expectedly, David seized these opportunities. And you know what? With these many opportunities came many problems as well, because David had to wait for 15 painful years to become king, the king of Israel. It was as if the Lord's plan to make him king exacerbated his condition as he scrambled from cave to cave in order to escape from Saul's murderous threats. What an agonizing, you know, experience that David had. Yet this waiting period seemed to be, you know, one of his most productive time, or what you may call one of the most productive time of his life, because he met God's sent partner in Jonathan. God used Jonathan to teach David what it meant to be loyal, what it meant to be committed. Jonathan helped David to fulfill his God-ordained destiny at his own expense. You read that in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 4. The Bible tells us that so Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, even his own garment, his sword, his bow, and his belt. Friends, you know what I find here? Great friends are known in adversity. It was during the time of waiting that David learned to coach and to mentor disgruntled people, and so he learned discipline. If you have risen through the ranks of many years of commitment, or someone's exit paves way for your ascension, or the laying on of hands or ordination has brought you into a position or an office that you never anticipated, and suddenly you are in the spotlight and you are met with unprecedented challenges, you need to know this, friends. God's waiting room has people in queue like you, friends. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 tells us, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who are the called according to his purpose." In God's waiting room, you'll find another group of persons there that I call the Josephs. These people, they are the ones who didn't hear expressly from God in a vision or revelation regarding where to live, who to marry, what education or career to pursue, or other specific actions to take in life. However, like the Joseph in the Bible, they believe God has a plan for their lives. And we could rightly say that Joseph had no specific awestruck, divine encounter. Yet in dreams and by, reading the word, he saw some pictures about what his future would look like. You know, sometimes the visions are overwhelming and full of exceptional promises, yet no specific words about the course of action is given. Have you been in that position? You know, Joseph is a biblical example for us. He didn't know that his 13 years of imprisonment under false accusation was entirely in God's plan. There was no clue whatsoever that from prison he was going to become the prime minister of a nation where he came in as a slave. His life slowly but surely moved from one trouble to another with no sign that deliverance would come. But he had seen beautiful pictures in his dreams that inspired hope in his heart regarding the future. Yet he had to wait. You would ask, why the wait, Lord? You know, the waiting period can be debilitating, especially when there is no ray of hope or expected time of emancipation.
And as you study the word, you will see God's promises regarding your today and tomorrow. Do not flick through these promises and assume that they are for the biblical characters. Because Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 tells us, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." And 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 tells us, "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of ages has come." For the biblical characters, they were examples. In other words, they were just actors. The roles that they played were not for them or for themselves in particular. They played our own role in order to show us how to live the reality. They were actors. We are the real characters. So when you read of Peter walking on water, as you know, and as he doubted, he began to sink. He was merely a biblical character to show us today who are the real characters, that when we walk on waters, we won't sink. Hallelujah. You know, until I come your way with the next episode, still under this series, stay blessed. Amen.